You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello, bold and fearless entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 17 of Womenpreneur, Strategies for Success. Thank you all so much for letting me hang out in your earbuds today. I have an amazing show lined up for you. As an entrepreneur, do you ever get the superhero syndrome? The I can do it all I need is a little time? Yes, I think we all have had those moments every so often. I certainly have. In fact, just yesterday, I was looking at Google Analytics, and I think I know maybe 5% of what the Google Analytics can actually do. And for a moment, I thought to myself, I said, you know what? If I had 2 days just dedicated to Google Analytics and I spend it focusing on it, I can learn it all. Sure, I can. But what about all that precious wasted time? So instead, I've learned my lesson. And instead, I'm going to delegate it to an expert. And that is one of the key failures of an entrepreneur, says our today's guest, Marianne Castillo of WEA Collaborative, which has been called the eHarmony of virtual assistants. Marianne started a successful real estate and business, home renovation business, at the age of 19. Yes, believe it or not, and she tells us how she did it. It's quite amazing. I think we all have something that we can learn from her. And she's taken her skills from 33 years of successful serial self-employment and solves the problem of finding top shelf, pre-vetted virtual assistants for motivated entrepreneurs. Marianne says, going it alone is overrated and ineffective. And she shares her unique formula for generating a multi-six-figure business by leveraging the time and expertise of virtual assistants and even shows us how to pay for them as you grow. You don't have to go it alone, she says, and you don't have to know how to do everything. You will make a lot more money and have a lot less stress when you use her virtual assistants. And the best part is the VAs pay her fee. So why not, right? And she asks a question. She says, are you an employeepreneur or are you a true entrepreneur? We as entrepreneurs have a lot of ideas and a lot of passion for what we're doing. So don't we make the most effective salespeople for our products? Shouldn't we be out there? Shouldn't we be in front of people speaking about our products with all the passion that we have? So she says, why don't you be the creator of the great content and let somebody else do the actual work? I love it. I think I'm totally using it. And I loved her analogy of the postage stamp. She says, stick to one thing until you get there. So before we get right into it with Marianne, I do want to remind you to subscribe to the podcast and don't forget to rate and review. Can't believe summer's almost here, can you? The schools are out this week and the kids are going to be home. So next time, if you hear the kids in the background, you know what I'm talking about. So let's get right into it with Marianne. Hi, Marianne. How are you doing?
Hi, Smita. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for coming on our show. You have such amazing experience. I can't wait to get some insights from you.
I'm ready. Let's go.
Sounds good. So, Marianne, tell us about your journey. You've come a long way. You started from, you know, real estate and home renovation, and now you have a VA Collaborative. Let's talk about your past experiences.
Okay. I actually got robbed at gunpoint, which started my whole entrepreneurial career.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. I was working at a self-service gas station to make some money for college. I ended up quitting college and they promoted me to management. And then one day during the gas crisis, I got held up there. So that was pretty scary. And I said, I need to move on from there. Wow. So what I ended up doing was I took the civil service exam and got a job at the post office. 30 years ago. I was making over $10 an hour and I couldn't get fired. So one of my girlfriends says to me, why would you rent an apartment when you could own the building? You work at the post office, you can't get fired, and you're making more money than most people. No banks will say no. At that time, I was only 19 years old, and I said, well, that makes sense. So I went looking through the paper, and I bought a three-family home at the age of 19.
Wow. So, at the age of 19, you went and you had this mindset to say, hey, I'm going to go do this.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
What I've realized is that how I've been successful is that I'm always doing the math equations on things. And so people say, oh, you're lucky, or, you know, this. And it's really not. What it is it's an ability to take calculated risks. And so I love math. I love spreadsheets. I love to say, okay, what's the potential for something? What is it going to cost me? And then I always add in some kind of fudge factor, because it's never what I know that gets me. It's always what I don't know. So I assume there's parts I won't know or costs will overrun. And then if it still seems to have potential to make sense, I'll jump off the cliff and try it. I haven't won all the time, but I've won more than I've lost. And I'm sitting here right now talking to you in a penthouse oceanfront condo.
Ooh, I like it.
So my, you know, advice to people is, you know, sometimes corporate America, it's a prison sentence, because people fall into the false sense of security that seems to bring, but really it's so limiting. And so self-employment, you know, I get my teeth kicked in a few times, and that's okay, because I figure that's my college education. I quit college and said, I think I can, you know, do something. I didn't know at the time what I was going to do, but I keep showing up. I keep trying, and, you know, I don't always win, but I win more than I lose, and I learn from the things that I didn't win at, and I call that research, right? It's not a failure, it's just research.
Absolutely. I think, and you know, you're so right on the money. Entrepreneurial, it's a journey. You know, you win some, you lose some, and you're so right, because there are going to be failures. And I think the point here is not to take them as failures, but like you said, research. You know, I take it as a learning experience to say, hey, okay, this didn't work out, so how can we make this better? I think that's, if we all come out of a failure knowing what mistakes we could improve upon, I think that's the key.
Exactly. I mean, last month I just had my highest income producing month of my whole career.
Wow, congratulations.
And so it works up that way, right? Is that
Definitely.
You figure some things out, and, you know, I actually did it. I actually had the highest income producing month and I worked the least.
Nice. That's what I call when systems and processes are in place and working.
Exactly. And actually, one of the ways I did it was a program that I created that shows people how to get paid by their clients to create programs and services that solve their problems. And then with the Virtual Assistant Collaborative, we use that money to pay talented people to build it for you. So it's a program I created that shows people how to have their clients pay them to create things that they use the money to pay other people to do it for them. So that's a true entrepreneur to me, is somebody who has the experience and the qualities and the genius zone that really can help people. And then the smart way is to package it into something that people can consume.
Nice. Could you give us, and this is the Sell It, Create It, and Cash In.
That's right. It's called
Nice.
Create It, Cash In.
Nice. Could you give us an example of maybe, you know, one of your clients, you know, what they went through and how they did it?
Well, you know, what ends up happening is I talk to entrepreneurs every day, which I love this business I've created because I love doing that. That's like Monopoly to me, is to talk to business owners. Mm-hmm. So people tell me that they have tried for a long, long time to rein in all of these chaotic parts of their genius zone to be able to package it into something that will sell. Now, I was gifted with a great brain, and I'm tenacious about my learning, and I comb the crevices, and I go to so many events that I call myself an event whore, actually. And so I have learned so many things, and I saw something on Facebook recently that somebody put a picture up that said, I just sat in another 2-hour corporate meeting that could have been handled in an email. And so I go, that's my style. I can't stand listening to something for 2 hours that really I could have consumed it in 5 minutes. So what I've done is I've created my program into like a microwave version of everything that's out there. So instead of taking a year to do something, this goes on for 8 weeks, right? And there's 6 consumable modules, and then there's 2 Q&As with me. So one of my testimonials, this client wrote, I've been trying to create this program forever, and I've never been able to do it. But I took your program and the easy steps that you put me through step by step, and voila, now I finally got my program created. Now, what's critical is that when you have a program created, let's say you create a $2,000 program. This program also shows you how to market it. It's all based on marketing psychology. So not only is it creating a program, it's creating a program designed to sell. And then we're using our virtual assistant experts that are doing it for you. If it can't sell this way, it can't be sold. The beauty is you're not paying people to create it unless you know if it sells first anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So if somebody's got a $2,000 program, let's say, all of the places they show up, all of the opportunities they do, speaking, networking, joint ventures, now you've got something tangible that you can invite people to, and they're receiving your genius zone because it's you who's delivering it. So you could potentially go speak on a stage of 150 people with this formula, and it shows you, it's all reverse engineered from the offer, actually, is that we know that you're going to say, hey, would you like to buy this? So the program starts there and reverse engineers it all the way back. So when you transition into the offer, it's not even something that you feel like you switched gears, because you've technically been in offer mode since you started talking. So if you get on stage and this program shows you how to do this, how to make the offer and the free webinars and everything that drive people to it, if there was a room of 150 people, you could easily convert half of that room, 75 people, to make a herd to the back of the room to come for your free offer. If you got 75 people to listen to your free offer and you sold only 10 of them, you just made $20,000.
That's right.
Right? And once it's created, you made $20,000 and you don't have to do anything for it because it's already done. So all you have to do is get up and speak, or network, or run media campaigns, social media campaigns. And I've got virtual assistants who do the whole thing. All you have to do is perfect this one area, and you could sell things like hotcakes with this program.
Nice, I like it. And we'll definitely put a link in our show notes. That's really nice. It's so interesting to kind of have that sense of, you know, being able to sell the product before you even, I guess, create it, because that's where you're not spending all your money creating it, and then you don't know if you're going to be able to sell it or not. So definitely, I think that's the key. Talking about creating and selling it, let's backtrack just a little bit and let's talk about your experience in the home renovation and real estate business. I'm really intrigued to know, you know, you bought your first apartment when you were 19. How did you do it? Where'd you get the money from?
You know, back then, excuse me, it was a little bit easier, and I still have the piece of paper that it was written on. My grandfather, who was my idol, he was my mentor. I just loved him dearly. I told him, I said, hey, Gramps, here's the numbers, and this is what this looks like, and I really think this would be a good investment for me. And I convinced him that it would be a good investment, and he loaned me $2,000 for my down payment. So now things are a lot more expensive than that. But you know what? It really starts with the numbers. There are people who would be willing to help you. There are banks who are willing to help you, but it all starts with the numbers. And so I've got bookkeepers, or you could talk to me. I offer complimentary consultations. I can show people how to present this in ways, you know, everything is technically, we're always in sales mode. If you ask a girl on a date, you're in sales mode. If you ask your mother for keys to the car so that you can drive, you're in sales mode, right?
Absolutely.
We really have these skills. You just need to understand what they are and the formulas, and always jump into the mindset of who you're asking. If I were sitting in that seat, right, or walking in somebody's shoes, what would make me give money to somebody if I were in the business of giving money to somebody. They want to know that they get their money back and they want to make a profit, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to prove to them, and there's metrics that the banks use that we know what they are. So we can make sure that your documentation fits those numbers.
Absolutely.
And then when your documentation fits those numbers and you have everything in an organized fashion and you present to the bank with a sound business plan that shows what you're thinking, you know, a lot of it is perception, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a story that when I was in real estate, I got audited 3 years in a row.
Really?
I actually got so upset by the IRS tactics that I started a bookkeeping service to help small business owners counter the effects of the IRS. And so by the third time, I was so organized that I was like, I just can't sit here anymore because it's so boring to me.
Right.
So I sent my accountant in and I had the adding machine tapes with all the receipts behind it. He was done in about 5 minutes. He calls me from his cell phone and he says, oh my God, that was the most fun I ever had.
Wow.
So they started looking at a few of the items and they said, well, it looks like you have everything here. So they gave up. So he says, you know what that means? And I said, I think I do. He says, you have IRS immunity.
Ah.
We're going to audit me again. It was going to be considered harassment, right?
So
it was the perception of that, right? That they gave up because
right.
perceived to be this way. So, you know, as business owners, you have to be aware of some of these factors, whether it be the banks or the IRS, and you have to have things presented in a certain way. Even if you're going to plan to sell something to clients, it's really all about the perception and the presentation, right? And that's what my experts help people do, is make sure that your image is the way that it needs to be, that it's designed to convert. My program is all marketing psychology, you know, in a nutshell. And I used to be a fourth grade teacher. So people tell me I can make brain surgery seem like nursery school. So I've taken all of that information, put it into a microwave version, delivers it, you know, at the level like a fourth grader could understand. There's easy fill-in-the-blank questionnaires that people fill out, and voila, step by step, now you've got a program created. So, you know, back to the perception. So, you know, when I was in the real estate, I started saying, okay, my math was, okay, now that I own this building, what if I fixed up an apartment? How much does it cost me to fix it up? How much can I increase the rent? And then how long does it take to pay back the initial investment? So at that time, it was like a 6 month investment, but I was 19. So 6 months felt like an eternity that I was carrying debt. Mm-hmm. I think even today, people get really stressed when they've incurred debt. The bottom line is you can make a lot more money on someone else's money than you can if you're only trying to do it on your own money, right?
Absolutely.
So buying a house for hundreds of thousands of dollars that's rental property, you don't have the hundreds of thousands. But if you borrow it from the bank and the math works out and then real estate values increase, you made a lot more money, right?
Absolutely.
So it's always a thing. It's always comes down to the math, I think.
And that's so, it's fascinating because what you did 30 years ago, people are doing now. The fact that you did it at that time is quite fascinating to me. And definitely, I think, you know, what you said about perception is reality.
Exactly.
It is. I mean, I think the way you put yourself or present yourself in front of people is really more than half the battle. Definitely. I completely agree with that. So how did you figure out, you know, you were in a, I guess, predominantly male-dominated niche, and how did you go about all of that?
You know, there's so many things, Smita, that I don't buy into. I don't buy into the fact that you have to look a certain way, be a certain body size, be a certain gender in order to succeed. I just don't buy into that. I guess it might be easier for me because I was gifted with a great brain. And so I'm grateful for that. But then it's not only the gift that I was given, it's what I've done with it.
That's right.
So I think so many people have a talent that even if they're not an expert at everything, which I don't believe business owners can be an expert at everything, it's about the other tools, the other inventory skills you have. I mean, I quit college and I tell people I got a free college education by doing one thing that I figured out, and that is hanging around with older people asking them their opinion on something that I wanted to know, and then I learned to shut up and be a good listener. That doesn't cost you anything. Anybody can have that skill, right? Mm-hmm. So as long as you understand that being a good listener and asking an older person their opinion, right, you can find anything that you want. So you don't have to be gifted with a great brain. That's just one skill that you can have. Well, you know, nowadays it's either that you find people who are willing to give it to you for free by being a good listener, or sometimes there's coaches that you can pay that will help you. And time is money. You know, the math has always got to figure in the time equation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people have expenses. Let's say your expenses are $5,000 or $10,000 a month, right? Is that any time you're not willing to spend money to make money faster, you're 10 grand in the hole with those expenses, right? So you gotta figure out, how can you get the information the fastest? How can you turn that into money the fastest? How can you make money the fastest? So you always got to consider the time element. But, you know, so back to the real estate thing, what I ended up doing was I fixed over the apartment, and then it was an eternity waiting for the money to be paid back while all my other friends were going on cruises and buying cars. And I was like, I have debt. It was so stressful. And then when the money was paid off, then I was ahead $200 a month. At an early age in my 20s, I kind of was debt-free. I was making $10 an hour, which was great money back then, and I really had no bills because the building paid for itself, including my unit. Yeah. I often think that maybe I should have stopped there, but what ended up happening was I got lucky and hit a real estate boom, and my $43,000 building went to $143,000. And I said, well, the math worked out right, so I took equity out of the property and used that as a down payment. In my early 20s, I had over 20 units of real estate.
That's wonderful.
So, and you know, one of the creative things I did was in the refinancing of things, and you know, my grandfather taught me about compound interest, which is amazing. That's an amazing equation if you actually understand it. And so I took the money and I said, okay, compound interest, an interest rate on something over time costs you a lot of money. I used to say that every time I would sign the documents on these properties, I would go, this is like signing your life away, because, you know, it's a $100,000 building and it costs you $400,000 to pay it back, right, with the interest on it. So I figured out at the time the best asset I had was I was so meticulous about my paying my bills on time and keeping my excellent credit rating, which again is the perception, right? Mm-hmm. If you can achieve an excellent credit rating, then the bank thinks, well, you must be a good risk. So I protected that with my life. And I had credit card offers all the time. Here's a 0% for 6 months, 0% for a year, whatever it's going to be. And I started refinancing my properties, half on a mortgage, half on a line of credit. I would take the 0% credit card offers, pay down the mortgage that was on the line of credit, and in essence, and then I made sure that I kept paying these things back on time without a hiccup. I actually set up a warning system in my QuickBooks account that would say, this is due this month, make sure you cut the checks that would flow over to these things, make sure all that was done, critically important. And then they would offer me more zero things. So in essence, I had half of my mortgage debt at 0%.
I love it. That's an awesome and creative way of funding. That's lovely. Yeah. Very nice.
Even with my program, I'm one of those people, I love a win-win. I love a creative solution to a problem. And so, yeah, I love when I figure those things out.
Yes, definitely. Tell us a little bit about VA Collaborative and how important it is for entrepreneurs to understand that there are things that you can't do it by yourselves.
You know, that's probably, if I had to pick the number one biggest mistake entrepreneurs make, it's that, is that they're what I call employeepreneurs, not entrepreneurs. They, in essence, bought themselves a job. And I think it's the way we're wired that we think, okay, well, you don't want to pay for something if you can do it yourself, right? That's a huge, it's a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. So, a true entrepreneur says, I have a gift. I have something that people will buy and I can help people. I have a theory called the postage stamp theory, where I say, act like a postage stamp. Stick to one thing until you get there. That's how you're successful in business. So I think it's the biggest flaw in our logic to think we're saving money when we try and figure out this software program or figure out social media. And if you step back and ask yourself, what's the likelihood you'll be an expert in everything for business? Most people will go, yeah, that would never happen. And then even if you tried it, what's the chances that you'll stay up with it and be an expert? Like, you look at things that change. Facebook changes their algorithms for advertising. Google changes their algorithms for search engine optimization. Software goes through updates, and then you got to figure it out. And then it's broken. And why is it broken? And it's such a rabbit hole. You're going to just spend your time there. And that's not how you should think as an entrepreneur. You should say, how can I package my genius into something consumable? How can I deliver great content that really transforms people, solves problems for them, make a good living off of it? And the way you do that is you say, stick to the one thing. I think as an entrepreneur, you should be the creator of the great content. You should be the salesperson of the great content. You should deliver the great content, and then you should hire people to do everything else. Now, in my program, there was a math equation that I did that said if you created a $2,000 program, you create it once, and you're selling it many times. So once it's created, that's behind you. If you sold one program for $2,000, you could buy 57 hours of a $35 an hour VA. 57 hours. You can get so much done with a person who's an expert at what they do because they do it so fast.
That's right.
So you say, okay, 57 hours. What if you focused the 57 hours on selling more $2,000 programs? Mm-hmm. 57 hours of focused time on selling something.
That's all the money in the bank.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that people try and do something for 57 hours, you lost that opportunity. You could have sold 10 or 100 of these $2,000 programs in 57 hours, right? And the more you do it, the better it gets. Now, that seems to be the sticking point, is that people are afraid that they're not going to be able to get that next client. So they really avoid it. And I think that trying to do everything yourself is like a weapon of mass distraction. Is that
I agree.
You're just distracting yourself from the fact that you don't want to put yourself out there and try and sell. Now, we can get virtual assistants to help you with that. Ultimately, the sales conversation should be from you, but we can bring people to you who are already interested in what you're offering. So for me, I never feel like I'm having sales conversations because the people are already interested in what I'm offering. Mm-hmm. And my conversation is just, how can I help you? What can I help you with? How can I make your life easier, work less, have a better lifestyle, make more money? What can I do to help you? And so I have conversations. I lend my 30 years of experience to this conversation, and they buy stuff from me. It doesn't feel like sales. It feels like I'm just helping people, mm-hmm. right? People pay for solutions every day of the week. So when it's packaged the right way so that it's perceived the right way, it doesn't feel like selling. So we can get virtual assistants to help you with that whole thing so that your days are just like, yes, how can I help you? Let me help you with this. Let me help you with that. Okay, talk to my team. We'll get you set up on that. Let me help you, right? You're offering a helping hand. That doesn't feel like sales.
That's right.
Right? And that, like I said, so we can help you bring those people to you so that you're having a better experience and it doesn't feel like you're cold calling, because I think that's what people think about sales. Is you're cold calling people, you're interrupting them, and that's what doesn't feel good,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. there's all kinds of ways to flip that equation on its head and bring people to you, and that's what I help people do.
Wonderful. And Marianne, what do you think, in your experience, are the most, maybe three important skills that women entrepreneurs should have?
Let's see, I think they need to know how to focus.
Mm-hmm.
I think they need to know how to engage in influential conversations, and I think they need to know how to delegate.
I like the last one, definitely. That's my favorite.
So, I mean, if you've ever had anything done for you, right, mm-hmm. you'll be sold. I mean, my weakness is copywriting. I can talk up a blue streak, and I think because my ideas go so fast, when I sit to write it down, I get all hung up on the punctuation or the misspelling things, and then I lose my focus. So
right.
I hire out my copywriting all the time. Just do that for me. And when somebody interviews me, and I go, I can answer questions. This is easy. And then the next thing you know, I've got a beautifully written sales piece.
Yes.
Oh, I know. I never miss the money.
I'm telling you, I know. And my weakness is graphic design.
Yeah.
I am not design oriented. I mean, give me like a choice of five colors and you'll ask me, I'll be like, oh, I have no idea.
Exactly.
So yes, I love to delegate that part because I know I can't do it and I can spend like 5 hours trying to learn how to do Photoshop, but I would not be able to do it and it's a waste of time. Exactly. Totally. Delegating is wonderful.
Exactly. And then if you focus it on what am I selling? I go mm-hmm. sell something for $2,000 and then buy $2,000 worth of stuff. Easy trade. I'd rather go sell something that I've already created than do the 57 hours of something else that I hate, right?
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
Here's what the VA Collaborative does is that my clients have actually dubbed me the eHarmony of virtual assistants. And so I believe that not one person is a good fit for everybody. So I have a strategic matching system that I do. The virtual assistants fill out a strategic interview. Mm-hmm. I interview them, pre-vet them, make sure that they're qualified. I have a strategic interview I do with the clients, and then I match people. So, like for example, some people may be really hypersensitive to typos. Mm-hmm. I have virtual assistants who come from a legal background. A typo in a legal world can make or break a case.
Right.
So those two might fit on that level. So there's a lot of things that I do. And then sometimes people are just starting. They need a certain type of a VA. Some people are just, I've been doing this for a long time. I just need this. It's like, okay, just somebody who does it. Some of my virtual assistants are like rent a business partner. Mm-hmm. They're teaching you as they do stuff for you. And so it really works out well that way.
Nice. That's awesome. I like that eHarmony of virtual assistants. Very nice. Awesome. So Marianne, if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice about funding or money, what would it be?
Funding or money. I think that time is money. Mm-hmm. And so I see people spend a year trying to learn something. Meantime, you have to look at the value of what that was. You didn't actually save any money. You lost a lot of money by taking a year to try and learn to be an expert in something. Mm-hmm. I think if you have some money and you want to start a business, I think you should call me and we'll find out how to delegate properly for you. Not that we want to spend all of your money all at once. We want to be strategic about it, about things that make you money. How do we get to the point of making you money the fastest? Mm-hmm. So then that way you're not bleeding cash so fast.
Absolutely.
That's the smartest thing. And I see people do that incorrectly all the time. And now they find themselves in a desperate situation.
Yes.
That's not a good place to make intelligent choices from.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Marianne. And I am ready for a lightning round. Are you?
Sure. Hit me hard.
Sounds good. So these are short, sweet questions that help us get to know you more intimately. All right. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
I think probably when I die, I'd like to say that I helped as many people as I can.
Nice. And what is your guilty pleasure?
Oh, my guilty pleasure probably is frolicking in the ocean.
Nice. What are you currently reading?
The last book I read to completion was Pocahontas, Friend of the Pilgrims. I don't actually read books, but I read the internet all the time. I am a Googleaholic.
Yes, I know. What is your one productivity tip?
You know what I love doing? There's a couple of things. Can I give two?
Absolutely.
Okay, the first one that I absolutely love that I want to scream from the mountaintops on is when I do emailing, I use autocorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So I type the same thing over and over again. Like, I look forward to speaking with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I type in SWY space and autocorrect types, I look forward to speaking with you. So I blast off so many emails that I do the whole thing with autocorrect. The links to my calendar, I just type TTT and it fills out a link. I type JOTE and it says join our team. Here's the link for that. So I use autocorrect for everything. I blast off emails. So I'm really good at responding to emails because that's fast. The second thing that I just saw that is so terribly exciting to me is Amazon just released a cloud storage program, unlimited cloud storage for $59.99 a year. That is a must-have for business owners because when things are up in the cloud, they're protected.
That's right.
So you never have to worry about losing documents, and there'll be bells and whistles on how to get prior revisions of things, or a lot of times if something was deleted, you can still get it back. Mm-hmm. So cloud storage for $59.99 a year, put everything you own up in cloud storage. That's nice. A screaming deal.
Nice. And what is your personal motto?
Oh, you know, the motto that I've had forever is, life happens, all you have to do is show up. Nothing happens from your couch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what would you do different if you were given another chance?
Oh, knowing what I know now, I would focus on a topic, focus on an area of expertise. I would delegate everything I don't know, collaborate with people, and go big. I would play bigger and scream from the stages abound.
I love that. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Marianne. This was really wonderful. And thank you for sharing all your, you know, wonderful experience and insights. I think we have a lot to learn from you. And can you tell us the best way to reach you?
The best way to reach me is go to my website, www.thevacollaborative, like virtual assistant collaborative, thevacollaborative.com. Mm-hmm. And then there's plenty of links over there to contact us or hire a VA and just fill out one of those links. And then you'll get further documentation from me on how to get on the phone with me.
Wonderful. Thank you, Marianne. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Smita. It was great speaking with you today, and I wish everybody the best.
Thank you so much. Likewise. Bye. Bye.
This concludes another episode of Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womenpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.